Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Daily, a big, big Monday. Coming on the show today, Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester alongside you here. We've got our first full week of college football, really our second full week, but our first full week of chaos already in college football as we go into week number two of the college football season. KU, K-State, both underwhelming, but with different outcomes. We'll get into each of those. We have the full slate, of course, of the NFL schedule, and the Royals are on a heater. Coming up on the program today, K-State Wildcat Athletics radio play-by-play broadcaster Wyatt Thompson will join us to go back through the game we watched on Saturday and look ahead to the first real big showdown of the season for the Wildcats, really for anybody in our neck of the woods against Arizona. We'll get to that preview as well with Wyatt Thompson. We will get to, of course, KU's disappointment in Champaign, and the Royals hoping for some Champaign. And they went a long way into potentially popping those bottles for a playoff appearance over the weekend. We'll have all of that for you. The IHOP hotline is open here in the first segment, 869-1240. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We're happy to be here with that. We'll have a giveaway for you. We'll give away a little HTO later in the program as well. It's a jam-packed show. We're excited about it. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here this morning. Glad to be here with you. Long weekend. I feel like just, you know, I'm kind of dragging again this morning. Monday mornings are typically that way. I don't know about you, but it was good to get back with football. It was good to, you know, get back with college football, NFL, all of that. And so looking forward to jumping into it.
Yeah, Mondays are good, but Mondays are reaction. I love Monday shows because we got a lot to get to. Like it all piles up on you over the weekend, like the different things that are happening and people's reactions to them. And you just kind of file them away and get them ready for a Monday. So I am excited about that. I've got to go out to the state fair, Tom. This is a big, this is going to be a long week for me. I'm out to the state fair today and tomorrow. So if you're planning on going out to the fair, stop by the 12 News booth and say hello. We'll be out there having some fun with people, eating some corn, no doubt. I always have to hit the gyros, the gyros for, you know, us hillbillies. But the gyros are fantastic. I always find those. But if you're out at the fair, say hi. And I can't wait to talk to people when I'm out there telling me about KU and K-State football. I always do. Like, people always come up and they want to know the latest. And we can start there as well. Wyatt Thompson in our next segment. What a weird weekend. I said this to somebody. It feels like KU and K-State have swapped identities, right? Like, K-State's now high-flying, can't play any defense. KU is grinded out, you know, whatever. The outcomes are different. I would be stunned if anybody would tell you they weren't disappointed in the way both teams played. Different reasons. K-State obviously figured out a way to get it done. I don't know who's better, Tulane or Illinois. I'd be curious to see those two teams play. I thought Tulane's young quarterback, I was with Lewis Riddick on the broadcast, I thought he looked awesome. But K-State could not stop the big play early. Avery Johnson needed a little time to get into it. He certainly did in the second half, and they got it done. And we'll have more on that with Wyatt Thompson. But KU, Tommy, and I know a lot of KU fans feel like the sky is falling right now. It's not. The 12-team playoff, that really, unless you thought KU was going to run the table this year, that loss doesn't mean a whole lot. I think there are things within the loss that should concern us. But again, we've talked about this ad nauseum. The Big 12 is probably a one-bid league this year because probably it's going to take a non-conference champion to have two or fewer losses, which just doesn't seem likely this year. So if you're a KU fan, I think the bigger concern are the things that happened within the game more than the loss itself, Tommy. Like, the way that they played, they were clearly a better team than Illinois. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That is absolutely apparent to anybody who watched that game. But man, some of the play calling decision was as bad as you'll ever see. And Jalen Daniels looked bad. He did not look good at all.
Well, I think that, you know, first off, I want to take a little bit of the I don't want to say the blame, but a little bit of the results of the game off of Jalen Daniels and you know, the players in general. I think the play calling 100%
was terrible.
Was what did them in. I mean, Jeff Grimes calling the plays for the Jayhawks let those players down on Saturday night because it was absolutely obvious what Kansas needed to do to win that game, where they were having success, and they completely abandoned it. They completely got away from it. The Jayhawks have two of the best running backs in the Big 12. They have collectively probably the best running back room in the entire conference. And, you know, even in that game on Saturday, Devin Neal showed off in that regard. He was averaging about 7 yards a carry.
He was insane.
And they completely got away from him and just put the ball in Jalen Daniels' hands. Now, I want to talk about Jalen Daniels briefly because I would venture to guess I have a different outlook on Jalen Daniels than you do. He didn't look good on Saturday. Didn't look good in the first game. It looked mediocre, I guess, in the very first game against Lindenwood. I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with Jalen Daniels. To me, he looks rusty. He looks like he hasn't played. He hasn't been out on the field, you know, for quite a while. And when he was a season ago, he wasn't 100%. So he looks rusty. There wasn't anything to me watching him play that I thought, oh man, like he's battling with something. He's dealing with something.
Well, I just think
he looked rusty. I just think that he looked like he needed to shake the rust off a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm still optimistic that moving forward, he's going to get sharper because there were moments, there were flashes of vintage Jalen Daniels against Illinois. There were flashes of that against Lindenwood. It wasn't consistent, but I think that's part of the equation when you're out and, you know, you're on the sideline for the length of time that Jalen Daniels was. That being said, though, it just goes back to the play calling again, because the coaches put him in a position that he was not capable of delivering in. One way or another, he wasn't capable of delivering in those situations. He had more interceptions than, you know, anybody feels good about if you're a Kansas fan. and they took the ball out of the hands of their dynamic running backs. And so for that reason, and basically in my opinion, that reason alone, that's why Kansas lost the game.
I don't think it can be that reason alone. It's certainly the biggest reason. The play calling was 100% the worst part of that game. No question about it. The defense was incredible.
Yeah.
The backs, the offensive line were incredible. They were better on both lines. They were better at the skill positions, and they somehow lost that game. There's, you know, two very glaring reasons that we just hit on. They should not have been throwing bombs on first down. Especially when you see that Jalen Daniels is not right. He's not, and I'm not saying that because of injury. I have no idea how he feels physically, but he couldn't hit short throws. He couldn't hit intermediate throws. He couldn't hit long throws. He's off right now. He's not an explosive runner right now. And so when you're seeing all these things, we're all seeing these things happening against an inferior opponent. You just have to run the ball. Like, that's it. They cannot stop you running the ball. You're better than they are, especially in the trenches. Your quarterback is clearly struggling right now. Run the ball. I mean, it is insane. And I haven't listened to the post-game audio yet, and I will. But, just wild. Why on earth were they not doing the most glaringly obvious thing we saw of anything we were seeing this weekend of the things we were paying attention to? It just didn't make any sense. Like, are you trying to prove something with Jalen Daniels? I don't know what he looks like in practice. He probably looks fine. I'm not saying Jalen Daniels is a long-term issue. I'm saying within that game, he was playing like crap, and they just kept trying. And you can't, like, why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. If there's rust, you'd better run the ball because there's rust. It's not like, look, if they were way up on Illinois and they said, all right, Jalen, like, let's get the rust off. Let's go bombs away. Let's get you ready to roll. Okay, fine. But they were not. That game was closer than it should have been because of the turnovers. And KU was clearly a better team. Just wild. I could not figure out, and nor could anybody else that I was communicating with during the game that was watching it. It's just like, what are they doing? Like, what on earth is happening? And how does Coach Leipold even let it happen? And that dynamic is really interesting now. New offensive coordinator. Coach Leipold's had the same guy for what, Tommy? 20, 30 years?
Yeah.
How long is Kotelnicki?
He was with Kotelnicki for, like, all the way back to their D3 days with Leipold. So there's a lot of continuity and familiarity there.
So Leipold has to now reevaluate his role in how that process plays out. Probably forever, it was like, you do your thing, man. I've got other... You can't do that now. Because at some point, he needed to say, if you throw that ball on first down again, you're fired right now. Stop doing that. It was wild.
I mean, there were several situations, and I'm not specifically citing any one of them, but I just remember, like, second down and two, and they throw a 40-yard pass down the sideline.
It was unbelievable.
Then third down and two, they throw another 40-yard pass down the sideline. Like, what are you guys doing? And the other thing, too, to keep in mind, last season, when the Jayhawks were passing the football, and it was primarily Jason Bean, they were distributing the ball out to not just the wide receivers. They were distributing it out to tight ends. They were distributing it out to running backs out of the backfield. They didn't do that on Saturday. It was, by and large, the wide receivers. Like, we saw Luke Grimm a ton. We saw Skinner a ton. We saw Arnold a ton. Like, and that's fine. Those guys are extremely talented wide receivers. But Daniels didn't target tight ends. He didn't target Neal or Highshaw out of the backfield. In fact, I think there was maybe one target to a running back the entire game. That is malpractice when you are an offensive coordinator for a team that's built the way that Kansas is. And I think the positive thing, if I'm going to find a silver lining about this, and you kind of have to after this loss, is that in every other phase of the game, the Jayhawks dominated Illinois.
Absolutely.
They dominated them on the lines. They dominated them defensively. I felt like they did a pretty good job of containing Luke Altmaier, probably a better job than they did a year before. So you can check that box because that was a major priority going into the game. And the fact that it was, you know, kind of exposed, like that whole offensive play calling situation exposed in game number two. I'd rather it be exposed in game number two than in game number 10.
That's the silver lining, is it doesn't impact the Big 12 race at all. And we know now the Big 12 champion gets in. If you're KU, the silver linings are exactly that. They were clearly the better team.
Yeah.
Now, long term, you would hope that that is a one-time occurrence for the new offensive coordinator. I suspect it is with Leipold this week. The Jalen Daniels part, we just have to see. He's got to shake that rust off. If he doesn't fix his accuracy, it's going to change, I think, the way this team plays football, or at least the way we thought it would. And we'll talk to Shreyas Lada about all this. What is, you know, what's the vibe around Grimes after the game? How did Leipold handle that? He was seeing the same thing we were. So we'll get into that. We have Shreyas Wednesday. We'll have more on this game coming up in our second hour as we will look big picture and tell you why it's not that big a deal. It's really not that big a deal. The, you know, the underlying factors are the loss itself is not. But we'll get into that. When we return, we'll go to the Cats. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joins us next. K-State, I thought they had more concerning things within the game than KU did, but they won the game. So it was a really strange dynamic between the two teams. We'll go to it next. Wyatt Thompson joins us. It's Albrecht and Caster. All this football talk, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
All right, and we are joined by Wyatt Thompson, K-State 34-27. We'll call it survivors against Tulane. At least that's the way it felt on our end. It's funny, Wyatt, we were just talking about KU. KU felt like they dominated the game and lost. K-State felt like they got outplayed but won. College football was wild across the board this weekend, but a survival is how I'm looking at it for K-State. How'd you feel about that win in Tulane?
Jacob, to be honest with you, and good to be on with both of you guys again, I think you nailed it. It was a game where I'm going to be honest and say, first and foremost, I'm going to tip my cap to Tulane. I really like their team. I think their coach is very, very good. I don't know if anybody had a real feel of what they were really going to be, because Southeast Louisiana was not much of a competition for them at all. But when you watch them live and you see that young quarterback operate, and he played pretty free and easy, and K-State had some issues defensively for the first time and had to adjust. Coach Klieman, after the game, called it a culture win, and I'm there with him. I think K-State did a good job of making some adjustments in the second half, but darn fortunate to get out of there. Down two scores twice to find a way to win, I'm in. And I said to Stan, hey, a win is a win, man. Nobody's going to care in November, right? We won the game, and that's all that matters.
You know, Wyatt, I thought it was interesting because, you know, obviously the defense late in the game, they were able to be opportunistic and, yeah, you know, force a turnover at least to be able to get in position to win the game. But the secondary, I was surprised to see kind of struggled against the Tulane passing attack. And, you know, I don't know if it was a combination of, you know, some play calling maybe early on in the game. I felt like maybe there was some soft coverage that let Tulane's, you know, offense really kind of go wild. But for whatever reason, it was a day for the secondary to forget.
Well, I think there are a couple of things of thought here. One, I would tell you that the fact that they established the run early helped the pass game. They have just enough weapons with the quarterback. I don't know what you guys thought, but I really appreciated their running backs. I thought they ran hard most of the time. Their lead guy is known as a between the tackles guy, but he can get wide. But then once they established the run and started to get some things going in the pass game, they were difficult to shut down. They were hurting K-State on the crossing routes. They were hurting them down the seam, and K-State wasn't getting a lot of pressure because they had to respect the run. And I think they finally did make some adjustments and got some more pressure. But they had to work their tails off to get there. Again, I'm going to credit Tulane for some of that, but it was a hard day for that defense. But at the end, in the second half, I thought You know, the coaches always say they bowed their neck and got tougher, and I believe that was the case. But I think the offense did too. And I'm excited about that. I know you can analyze, well, they need to get Dylan Edwards the ball more and, you know, let Avery go and all of that. And everybody's got an opinion there, and we can talk about all of that. But I thought Avery played an okay game. DJ Giddens is special. And they were opportunistic. I think you nailed that one, Tommy. They made plays when they had to make plays.
Yeah, and they play. I mean, look, they gave up 7 points in the second half.
Exactly.
We can say anything we want. That's what. Yeah. That's why they won the game. They were losing because of the defense in the first half. They were winning because of the defense in the second half. Long term, though, Wyatt, what are we seeing from the defense? Because I liked the Tulane quarterback a lot, like most people who have eyes and watched that game. Mm-hmm. But Tulane is not going to be the best offense they play this year. So, you know, big picture with K-State, when the expectations and the goals are as high as they possibly can be, what do we see from the defense that can be cured? How much better can this defense be, or will it be a liability, do you think, throughout the season?
I have a hard time thinking it will be a liability, to be honest with you, Jacob, but I do think improvement is needed. You know, a lot of the coach speak will say something like this: you know, most of your best improvement comes from week one to week two. That wasn't necessarily the case here. That's obvious. But I do like the secondary. I think they're active athletes. They have some experience. But Saturday was a little bit of a downer in that first half. You can't mask that. But I'm also going to say that I think they probably needed a little bit better play up front. When you're giving up, you know, pretty good chunks of yardage in the run game, and then they get both going, it is a hard spigot to turn off. And that's what we saw. I think they've got a lot of really good young football players up front, but those guys, many of them were in that environment for the first time, whether it's, well, I don't even need, you guys know the names. It is what it is. And I do think they'll get better. And maybe some better, you know, game plan too. It was tough, though. No question about it.
Wyatt, you mentioned just a moment ago about people talking about Dylan Edwards needing more touches, and, mm-hmm. and he was very productive in limited action. In fact, in a lot of his touches came later in the game, and he made the most of that for sure. I wonder, because DJ Giddens was incredibly effective running in the game, and you know, so I don't necessarily think that it's the right move to give Dylan Edwards more touches at the expense of DJ Giddens. But I wonder, I know that a huge part of what Avery Johnson brings to the table is the versatility and the ability to throw and run. Mm-hmm. You know, Avery wasn't super effective running in the game on Saturday, so I don't necessarily know if it's the right move either to sacrifice some of his touches in running the football in favor of Dylan Edwards. How do you think that they can try to divvy this up to make it work best for everybody offensively?
I love the question, and I think we can analyze this all day long. Here's what first comes to mind when I hear you talking about that and asking what you asked. One, again, be repetitive here, but give Tulane a lot of credit. I felt like they were going to do one thing defensively for sure, and they did. And that was basically take away the quarterback run game with Avery. For the most part, they did that. What did that lead to? A 9.5 yards per carry average for DJ Giddens. Yeah. That's what it led to. Avery didn't throw the ball a lot, but I thought when he did, he was pretty accurate with maybe an exception or two. I love the play on the touchdown pass to Will Swanson, because I remember calling it and saying something to the effect of it wasn't his most accurate pass. But if you go back and look, I mean, he's drifting to his left and is off balance. And it was a really, really, really fine play, right? So for me, I this is a young quarterback, and I'm willing to give him, you know, some rope here. And I think they'll give him more on his plate as time goes on. But they've made it pretty clear they don't want to run him too much early on, and they want to get those other guys involved and develop that pass game. And so I think that's part of it too. But again, they took that away, but they gave up some in the run game, and now to Dylan, okay? I don't know that they played those guys together as much as maybe some would like to see. I'm not sure I'm smart enough coach-wise to tell you why necessarily, but I think you will see it, though, moving forward. The guy is such an electric talent. You've got to get him some more touches somehow, some way, don't you think? That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Avery, I thought, when we talk about accuracy, it was a problem in the first half, not as much in the second half. I try to imagine myself as somebody who didn't watch Avery Johnson play high school football. And what I would think of the way he's developed so far. And most of what I hear, and I could totally see this, is we're concerned about his accuracy. I go back to how great a thrower of the ball he was in high school. So it doesn't concern me as much because I know it's there. And I think we're seeing it develop. But I get it. Like, I get why people have that concern. He's missing too many throws. But I do think it was an insanely encouraging thing to see how much better in the second half he appeared to be than he was in the first half, and we can see that growth. He's barely played college football, and a team just threw the kitchen sink at not letting him use perhaps what's perceived to be his greatest weapon, which is his ability to run. So how much growth can he quickly attain? Because you've got, and Arizona didn't look great last week either, but it's Arizona, and it's at home. Mm-hmm. I don't think K-State can afford that kind of first half again from the offense or the defense. So how quickly do you think he can react and respond to that from the second half to try to build on it?
I like that question, too. And I think the short answer is I think he's just going to continue to get better. And I think he'll be better this week. I'm an early morning guy, and I came in here at about 7 o'clock this morning. Avery was already in there working and looking at tape and stuff. And that's we all know his skill set. We all know how he's committed to this. They're going to do everything they can to help him, I think. And he's going to get better as he goes. I think that's the obvious statement here. But in addition to that, I think he's just such a student of the game that will help him as he goes, too. I mean, he hasn't been here a real long time yet, but it's hard to not be impressed at how hard he works with everything. And I've said that before, everything from the weight training to the nutrition to the film study to the throwing with extra with the receivers and all of those kind of things. Do they have to be better? Yes. More consistent? Certainly. But he's going to continue to grow and to develop. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah. And just another follow-up on that, Wyatt, you know, so the two touchdowns that Avery threw on Saturday, one was to Will Swanson, the tight end. One was to DJ Giddens out of the backfield. I wonder, I know that some of the issues from an accuracy perspective in the game on Saturday with Avery really came when he was targeting the wide receivers. I know that, you know, there was an issue with Sterling Lockett where Lockett was wide open. That could have been a touchdown. You know, he was streaking open and Avery missed him. He failed to connect with Jaden Jackson. Also, that would have been, you know, a first down play. Do you anticipate, you know, as the season progresses, that Avery will lean more on the tight ends and the running backs in the passing game? Is it going to take some time, do you think, for the connection to be where it should be with those wide receivers?
I think it's probably true with everybody, to be honest with you, Tommy, and not just the receivers. Do the receivers need to be better? Yes, I think so. But as an example, I really felt like going into the year that Dante Cephas would be a big factor for this team. That hasn't necessarily been the case. I also thought that about Garrett Oakley. Garrett's basically got one catch in two games. Other guys have stepped up. We've seen a little bit of that. So I think it's really a team that is young in some very key spots, you know, trying to get acclimated to a hard game very quickly. I think we just have to show some patience, and I know that's hard, but I think they are getting better, and I think we saw that during the game. That's, to me, that's probably the best part of what I'm sure was a frustrating day for some, because, guys, that was a hard environment, and that was a good football team that was really well coached, and things were not going Kansas State's way in any way. And yet they found a way to get it done through some adjustments at halftime, being challenged again at halftime, and then making some plays when you absolutely had to make them. The strip sack was awesome. The interception in the end zone to finish it off was great. Yeah, you got a call late, but, and I'm just going to be honest with that one. If you go back and watch that, that was the right call. Pick plays are illegal. And he didn't try to get open at any time. He engaged as a blocker immediately, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I think K-State outplayed Tulane pretty clearly in the second half.
100%.
So, you know, the outcome, it got there. It has been chaotic in college football. Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, on with us on Sports Daily. We've seen good teams, or at least what we thought were going to be good teams, lose. I have thought the transfer portal was going to make this happen for a long time now, and I think we're just getting more and more of it. Arizona struggled too. I mean, their defense looked great against Northern Arizona, but I mean, they didn't do much. Their quarterback struggled a little bit. So I don't know. I know that K-State's a 7-point favorite this week, which seems a little crazy to me, but Arizona struggled too. And so it's just on to the next one to some degree. Like, every team is going to be very different, it feels like, with maybe a few exceptions right now, than what we see at the end of the year. Just down the road in Kansas, I think we all feel that way. Yeah. It's a 12-team playoff, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like a year where it's going to be clear who's really good this coming week versus who's really good at the end of the year.
I like what you said, and here's what I would add to that. I mean, if you look at a Utah and a Kansas State, maybe even Kansas, West Virginia, some of those types of teams, Iowa State, you know, you've seen ups and downs with all of those teams. Iowa State, that was a really good win for them Saturday, yes, to be honest about it. But in visiting with Stan about this on the way back too, I mean, you think about some of the other teams that not everybody is giving a lot of credence to. I don't care what anybody says. That BYU win on Friday night at SMU has a lot more weight with me than others. And some of those types of teams are getting better. Now, yeah, you can, for every one of those, you have a Texas Tech, right? Okay, but that's football. I would say to you, as an example, KU was dominant against Illinois in the third quarter. But they just made a couple of mistakes that cost them, right? And give Illinois some credit. They ran the ball in the fourth quarter when they needed to do it. There are going to be ups and downs. And I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I think there's very little separation in the top five or six teams in this league, at least through a couple of weeks. And I think it'll continue to play out that way. If I'm wrong, then I'll admit later to you fellas, face to face, I'm wrong.
I wonder why it, you know, as we look at Arizona on Friday night, one of the things that I thought about when the K-State game was over on Saturday was, I know how high octane and high flying the Arizona offense is, and that's what they want to do, especially in the passing game. They've got one of the best wide receivers in the country. McMillan, in the opener, he caught 10 passes, 304 yards, and had 4 touchdowns when they played New Mexico. And then when you look at the struggles, especially early in the game in the secondary for the Wildcats, they're going to have to be, I would think, at least some major adjustments going in to this game to just try to contain and keep the top on what this Arizona offense wants to do.
The key will be, of course, what they can do in the run game here. It's a hard environment. It is tough. That's the advantage of playing at home. They played the other night against Northern Arizona without their best or top number one running back. But a lot of teams don't have a number two like Quali Conley either, or maybe a three or a four. They're a pretty deep team. But I think with the and I agree 100% with what you're saying with McMillan. He is absolutely dangerous. Maybe even more so than anybody put on the field by Tulane. And that's no disrespect. I mean, we saw what he did against New Mexico, but every week is different. They played him differently on Saturday. NAU did a nice job against him, but other guys made some plays too. So there's give and take in all of it. But at the end of the day, this will, I'm just going to say, I'm expecting a hard game. I'll be surprised if it's not a hard game, just because of their skill set. I think they're very well coached. They've got coordinators who've been around a long time. Coach Aquina has coached in this league with Mack Brown, so I think he knows kind of what he's doing. And they're probably better defensively than you might think. And we'll see what they are offensively. But they scare the heck out of me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think they should scare everybody. I don't think we have any clue yet, Wyatt, what will happen in the Big 12. I really don't. I do.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Here's the perfect example. Aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they look great. Everyone thinks
600 and some yards, yeah, and won in double overtime.
But they beat Arkansas.
They did.
You know,
they won
like
the game.
So I just don't know. I don't know two things. It doesn't feel like to me right now that two Big 12 teams are going to get in, because I don't think anybody is going to be able to run the gauntlet. I haven't seen the update on Utah's quarterback, but I know he left the game with injury again. Mm-hmm. So like, There just isn't anything clear to me right now in the Big 12. And I would say that's good news for K-State fans, and it's good news for KU fans, because I don't think anything's changed from the beginning of the year based on what we've seen through 2 weeks, other than Oklahoma State probably is a little more dangerous than people gave them credit for now with the quality of their wins. But who knows? Like, we're going to get to the point where probably it's going to be the Big 12 champion, and probably they're going to have 2, 3, maybe even 4 losses by the time the dust settles, and that'll be the representative, because I think that it's just too chaotic in this league.
Well, I think you could even take it a step farther past the Big 12. I would, and I'm not a guy that's real big on comparing scores because every week is different, but to augment your point, what are we thinking this morning about Oklahoma? Houston at home a week ago lost to UNLV 27-7. Total domination. They lost, 16-12 at OU. Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't to me, but that's what happened. And I do think that, hey, winning college football games is hard. We say it every week. And I don't think there's a lot of separation. Yeah, you have Georgia, and yeah, you have, you know, a couple of other very elite teams, but that's the case all the time. I just think, can the Big 12 get 2? Yeah, I think they can. but I'm not going to be able to sit here and guarantee it to you on, you know, in mid-September. You can't do that.
I just don't think two teams are clearly rising to the top, because it's going to take two teams being dominant throughout the regular season to get there. And that just, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe we'll see. K-State fans, you played about as bad a first half as you could have played and still figured out a way to win it. So, you know, if that doesn't happen again, maybe everything's right back on track. Arizona, what do you guys have on the call this, well, Friday, a little Friday night football?
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit interesting, isn't it? Actually, both Kansas teams play on Friday night, which is quite unique and different and odd, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah,
I'm so excited about this one. We've 2-hour pregame, so we'll go on at 5 o'clock. Not totally sure, talking on Monday, what we'll have necessarily for you. But I know, you know, we're going to cover all of it. And I really think this will be a very big ball game for both. I'm just going to tell you, I have the sense in visiting with some of the Arizona people that they feel like they're pretty good. I think K-State feels like they're pretty good. Neither played at their optimum level last weekend. What happens this Friday night? It's what makes this fun, fellas.
Oh, I can't
wait. What makes it fun.
I can't wait. You'll hear it right here on KFH. Wyatt, we'll have a good one to talk about next week. You guys be good. Enjoy the week at home and enjoy what will probably be as good a college football atmosphere as we've seen anytime recently. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, people will be stoked for this one, and I get it too. Guys, nice talking to you. Appreciate the opportunity.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. You can always hear Wyatt in the K-State Wildcat Athletics right here on KFH, your home for Wildcat Athletics. Man, we haven't even talked about the overall week in college football. Just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Good luck, everybody. Like, good luck with your bets. It's nuts. It is insane. I love it. This is what we've thought would happen with the transfer portal. It's happening right in front of our eyes.
Well, and oh, by the way, you've got teams like Notre Dame losing
after they just beat A&M Station.
Yeah, I know. You know, of course, Texas blows all over Michigan, and they're, you know, I think they're, that's
Texas,
a big,
is
big
one
story.
Of those
they're
really
for real
good teams. Yeah, they're one
real
of those handful of really, really good ones. But you know, those really, really good ones that we're seeing right now, they all have to play each other in the SEC. So who knows? I love it. It's awesome. And it's awesome that, you know, again, for KU fans, like, it ain't over. Don't sweat it. We'll talk about that in the next hour, but don't sweat it. Let's touch on the Royals when we come back. Massive weekend for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, just near perfect when you talk about what we were talking about last Monday. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline will be back open for you the rest of the way here on Sports Daily. Thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up here on KFH with a great cup of coffee. We'll be right back. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. One of our new sponsors of the program, Pep and Suter Remodeling. I'm happy to bring them on board. So Pepin and his crew did a recent remodel of our kitchen and a couple other things over the summertime, you might recall on the program. I got to tell you, I'm so glad to have them on board because I couldn't have been happier with the work they did. Not only at, you know, the base level was their bid significantly better for us versus the competition, which we really appreciated. The work when they got here, the work was fantastic. And I'll tell you the biggest thing for me, and why I'm glad they're a part of the program and we can talk about them here for a second, is that their crew took such good care of us. You know, the process, the first day, they knocked out all the countertops, put plywood on the countertops, and made our kitchen functional every day of that remodel. They cleaned up their mess every day. So while we were, you know, put out like people are during a kitchen remodel, we had access and the ability to use our kitchen the entire way through. They moved our refrigerator, plugged it back in. We had it the entire way. That would be the biggest thing I would say was their courtesy while they were working. We were so impressed with that. Their crew was very friendly, very kind. So Pep and Suter Remodeling, they are sponsors of the program now, and we are happy to have them be sponsors of the program. get in touch with Pep and Suter Remodeling. If you have any home needs, you know, they kind of specialize in the remodels there. Kitchens, I know they do a lot of bathrooms. So we're happy to have them on board. Give them a call if you're thinking about a remodel. Take their bid out. For us, it was significantly lower, and the work and the quality of it was very high. So Pep and Suter Remodeling, glad to have them a part of the program here on Sports Daily. All right, when we come back on the program, we are going to dig in a little bit. You know, we sort of took a bird's eye. We haven't talked about the NFL slate. We'll do that. KU fans on the loss. I'll tell you why I'm not nearly as concerned as the masses. I think what we saw in that game is fixable. And I think for the overall season implications, for a lot of the things we've talked, I'm not sure it mattered too much. Now, if you thought KU was going to run the table this year and then perhaps lose a Big 12 championship game, yeah, it cost you there. It cost you if you thought they were going to be an at-large team. I just don't know, based on what we're seeing, that the Big 12 is going to have an at-large team. And even if they do, two losses for KU is not going to keep them, I don't think, out. So we'll dig into all of that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Royals and what they have done over the weekend, and we'll get into that NFL slate as well. If you missed anything from the first hour, including our visit with K-State voice of the Wildcats Wyatt Thompson, you can go back and always listen to that on the Odyssey app. Jad podcast the show out for us, so that's always available for you. We'd invite you to check that out. We'd also invite you to check out the video stream, by the way, Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course 12 News Connected. You can go back and watch past shows there as well. I'm Jacob Albrock. Tommy Castor will rejoin us as we start the next hour. Don't go away. IHOP hotline's open, 869-1240. Your calls and comments on the video streams to come in the second hour as well. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.